Our scripture reading for today is taken from our Lord's Sermon on the Mount, taken from Matthew chapter 6, beginning with the 5th verse. "And when you pray, you shall not be like the hypocrites, for they love to pray standing in the synagogues and on the street corners, and that they may be seen by men. Assuredly, I say to you, they have their reward. But you, when you pray, go into your room, and when you have shut your door, pray to your Father who is in the secret place, and your Father who sees in secret will reward you openly. And when you pray, do not use vain repetitions as the heathen do, for they think that they will be heard for their many words. Therefore, do not be like them. For your Father knows the things you have need of before you ask him. These are your words, Heavenly Father. They are your truth. We pray now that you would increase our faith through them. Amen." Many years ago, when I was in seminary, I had an opportunity to help a homeless man with a little bit of food and some money. And I remembered thinking to myself at the time, "You're doing a pretty good thing here, Don. Someday, you should bring this up in a sermon." While I'm sitting here today singing this wonderful Christian hymn to the Lord, I sure hope people notice that I don't need my hymn book. While I'm making the sign of the cross, I hope people think, "Wow, pretty pious of him." It's a tempting thought for all of us to take any possible good thing we can do, any possible good work that we do, and connect to it sinful and evil motives, self-righteous motives. How can I get people in this wicked and sinful world to admire what a pious, spiritually minded person I am? We're reminded frequently in Scripture of that great expression that man looks at the outward appearance, but the Lord looks at the heart. But isn't it interesting how quickly the devil can take a good thought and even a good impulse and a good work that a Christian is about to do, and just by tweaking things in our minds and hearts a little bit, can cause it to be so Pharisaical and can cause it to be an attempt to display our spirituality before the world, hoping that the world will look at us and say, "Wow, does he ever have it all together spiritually?" In the text before us, one of the great lessons that Jesus is teaching us is this, that true and sincere prayer from the heart of a believer starts from a position of acknowledging that you do not have it all together spiritually. And this is where Jesus wants prayers to come from. Jesus is not so worried about the physical location of where we pray, although that can sometimes have an impact on what goes on in our heart. But he's rather more concerned about, if you will, the spiritual location of our prayers and where they come from. And shutting the door and going into an inner room or a closet, as some texts translate this, implies for us the deep intimacy of the soul before God, which is at the essence of what true prayer is all about. And it also strips away from us the potential for improper motives of self-righteousness. Praying in the way that our Lord Jesus commands us here requires a penitent heart and humility before God. Our prayers to God are not to be based upon somehow bargaining with him or somehow trying to impress him or anybody else. But instead, they are to be based solely upon his mercy to us that he has shown us in the work of his Son. If you will, in kind of a different way than we might expect, Jesus is here demonstrating to us just how expensive true prayer really is. No, it doesn't cost you a dime. In fact, think about it. You can pray as easily to the ear of the Almighty God in heaven cheaper than you can call a friend in Canada. That's pretty amazing. So for you and me, it doesn't cost us a dime. But from heaven's financial ledger, it has cost everything. The payment to create this great access to God has come at the highest cost possible, the very sacrifice of God's own Son. Our Lord Jesus, when he came down here and took on human flesh, when he went to the cross and let himself be sacrificed to feel the full and complete separation from God that you deserved and that I deserved, and when he cried out there on the cross, "It is finished," it was at that moment that the great temple curtain was ripped in the temple in Jerusalem, now providing access to the ear of God so that our prayers can ascend through Christ to him. As our Lord Jesus commands us, "Whatever you ask the Father in my name, he will answer." And so all true prayers, all Christian prayers must go through that, if you will, the Christ window that has been so costly paid for with the blood of God's own Son. And it is the prayers that come, only the prayers that come through that window that will be heard by God and which he promises to answer. Imagine, if you will, a mother on a playground, sitting on a park bench, watching her little four-year-old child play, and overhearing the child in a conversation with another friend getting invited to an upcoming birthday party. And as the little child runs to the mother to make the request, the mother already knows entirely what's going on and already knows what her answer is going to be, but she still looks forward to having her little child come and make the request to her. What a picture of how God, our Heavenly Father, is above. The reason he commands us to pray is not because somehow it's going to teach him something. What can we possibly teach God? He knows all things. He reads our hearts and our minds. But the instruction that's involved in true prayer is for us, for the saints, for his believers in this world, that we continue to acknowledge that all of the gifts and benefits that we have in this life and all of the things that we need truly come from his hand alone and no one else. And so the prayers that are instructive for us and not for God. And this is a wonderful gift and side benefit, if you will, that comes along being attached to faith in Christ. Wherever the Holy Spirit creates true faith in our Savior, trusting in him for the forgiveness of sins and the hope of heaven, wherever that true faith is created in the heart, there's automatically this built-in conversation going on with God, whether it's being formed audibly or inaudibly. And so this wonderful benefit that God calls upon us to use is not just an optional thing, but it's a command that he gives us, if you will, a beneficial, positive command for us, just like coming to receive the Lord's Supper. We sit sometimes in admiration of prayers of some of the great saints. We think of Abraham pleading with God on behalf of the cities of Sodom and Gomorrah. We think about Hannah pleading with God for the birth of a child, or St. Paul to have the thorn in his flesh removed, and so on. And sometimes we can sit in great awe and admiration of the prayers of the saints of Scripture. But how wonderful it is for those of us who hold on to Christ, to acknowledge our sin and realize that he alone is our hope of heaven, that any prayer and request that we bring before God through that Christ window is treated with the same high degree of value and respect as those prayers that God has sprinkled into the Scriptures for us to learn from. And so even though we are supposed to come in great humility, as our Lord teaches us here, at the same time, he invites us to come boldly before his throne of grace and to make our requests known. Martin Luther used to have a great illustration that he had about a king with a huge treasury, and he was looking forward to giving out items from his treasury to people as they would come and make requests. And different people heard about it and would come into the palace to make requests of him, and they would ask for little tiny things, and they would only come once a year or so. And here the king had this huge treasury just waiting to give them more and wishing they would come and make more frequent requests. What a picture that is for us and God, of us between us and God. Our Lord God, Heavenly Father, sits with this huge treasury of blessing waiting for us to come and to make our requests of him. And sometimes we're so timid and we're so forgetful about what a fantastic thing we have in this precious gift of prayer. So let us come boldly before his throne of grace. Lord, teach us how to pray aright. Amen.